Wow. It's amazing to me that our worship team so faithfully, no matter what environment we're in, they have their true north set on the Father. And the environment, though it's tough to be up here and confined in a small space, and it's tough to set up and tear down, it's tough. But they have their true north set on the Father. And it shows. It just shows. And I've had people say, when are we getting into our new facility? Obviously not as soon as I would have liked. But here's the thing I take comfort in, that God has a reason for us to be here. He doesn't just like making our lives difficult. He doesn't just like pulling us out of our comfort zones. There's a reason we are here. For however long that is, every single week, there's a reason we're here. I don't know if it's somebody in the hall is going to receive ministry. I don't know if it's the staff is going to see the presence of Jesus on your face. I don't know if we're just going to leave so much light in this room that emanates the rest of the week. I don't know what it is, but there's a reason we're here. So I want you to, when you get weary of coming and cramming into a room, I want you to remember that there's a higher purpose behind it. And keep your eyes up. Keep your true north on the Father who loves you and knows you. We do not yet have the keys. We were going to hopefully do a prayer walkthrough in the new facility today after church, but we don't have the keys yet. And it's not for lack of trying, is it, Stephanie? We have been fervently trying to take care of some details that have to be taken care of. They're small details, and they're really just checking the boxes off some things. But the cogs on this event are moving way slower than I would like them to move. And we're learning that nothing gets done unless you, like the woman, the persistent, you know, woman. Assertive, right. So we've been doing a lot of assertive this week. And love and kindness, but right now, we don't have an answer for you as to when we're going to be in the new facility. But know that we want to be in as much as you do, if not more. So it's coming. Hang tight and remember there's a higher purpose. Keep remembering there's a higher purpose behind it that we don't even see sometimes, okay? I want to tell you a little story that's a testimony. Some of you might know that every month, you might remember that I've told you this before, every month we take all that we've been given from the people who call this their home or who want to invest in Oak River, and we take out the first 10% and we bless 4 missionaries across locally and across the world with that 8%. Okay, so we take 10% and we bless 4 missionaries with 8%, and then we take 2%, and every month we change it up. We give to a different organization that God has put into our hearts. Remember I showed you a video about Hope Force International that we've invested in. We've invested in Community Hunger Center in Twinsburg. We've invested in, what's wrong?
Six
what?
Well,
I know, but we do the 4 that we do every week. We do a couple of other organizations as well. You're right. So, but we take that 2% and we change it up every month, right? And so when Stephanie and Linda and I met a couple of weeks ago, I had seen something on Facebook and it said something basically like, instead of buying the person behind you in the Starbucks line a coffee, why don't you consider calling your local school and blessing a student who is in need for their lunch account to be bumped up. And I have a personal story that goes with that I'm not going to go into today, but you know, this is concerning me. Can I give this to you? Because I really don't want to spill it. Because I will. And so, I don't know, it spoke to me. It spoke to me when I saw that on Facebook. So I said to Stephanie and Linda, I said, why don't we call the local elementary school near the church, Roxbury Elementary, or I call a local elementary school, I think I said, and see what we can do about that. See if we can bless some students with their lunch account this month. And Stephanie, being Stephanie, she has contacts for everything. I tell you. I can say to her, I need a food truck that sells only this, and she knows someone who does it. Like, it's amazing. So she said, I actually know the principal at Roxbury Elementary. I go, of course you do. And so I said, can you put a call into her and see if we can do that? So she put a call into her this week, and she told the principal, her friend, what our heart was to do this month with part of our funds. I think it was like 220 or 240, something like that, a little over $200. Not much, unless you're the student who's hungry. And then it's something, you know? And so the principal was like, oh my goodness, that is so great. How did you come up with this? And they talked about it. And she said, here's the thing, doing that specific thing, we can do it, but it would involve a lot of red tape for me. And then parents are going to be asking questions like, where'd this money come from? And blah, blah, blah. She said, but I just had a meeting this morning because we have this snack cabinet that the teachers and I have been buying out of our own personal funds to stock the snack cabinet because we've had an increasing number of students coming to school hungry in the morning, and we don't serve breakfast. We don't do breakfast. She said, so we've been pulling out of the snack cabinet to feed them breakfast, Nutri-Grain bars, granola bars, that kind of thing. She said, how would your pastor feel about doing that instead? I'm like, duh, yes, let's do it. So she was blown away that Stephanie called. What a coincidence, she said, that you called. And Stephanie said, no, it's not. It's a God sighting. I just wanted to share that with you. Sometimes I know I don't tell you enough stories about what your giving to Oak River does, but that's just one little thing that your giving has done. And it made a big difference, and it's going to continue making a big difference because we actually added a $100 gift card to it that we had on file. So they're going to be able to stock it pretty well for a little while. And then I told Stephanie, I said, why don't we get a list of what they need to put in there? And then next time one of us is in Sam's or Walmart or wherever you shop, we can pick up an extra box and we can continue to stock it to help them out. Like, good on you. Way to go. Isn't that great? I just thought you would love hearing that. So some kids are not going to be hungry this week because of your giving. Yes, it happens in America. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to continue our series this week on Jesus is asking. We're going to look at some of the questions that Jesus asked. Ron kicked it off last week with, what do you want me to do for you? Great message. If you missed it, listen online. So well done. This week, the question we're going to look at is, do you want to leave too? But we're going to back up to what happened before that because I'm going to try really hard not to answer the question. Jesus didn't answer it. He just questioned, okay? The first thing I want to look at is what has just happened before Jesus asked this question. Jesus has just fed more than 5,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children. And I think he started with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So that is definitely a miracle. It's definitely a miracle. Not only that, there were 12 baskets left over. That's one miracle, but before that miracle, he had been healing people and setting people free. We don't know how many, but we know there were lots of miracles. That's why they were sitting down listening to his teaching, because they saw the miracles and they were like, whoa, this guy's different. What's up? And so they listened to him teach, and then they did the miracle with the 5,000. After that, if you remember, the disciples got in the boat to get away. Jesus said, you go, I'll meet you over there. We need some time by ourselves. And then the storm came up, and Jesus came walking on the water to them. If you want to read it, it's really good. It's in John 6, John chapter 6. So he came walking on the water, and the disciples saw another miracle then in that moment. And then Peter, of course, walked in the on the water, and then Jesus calmed the storm, another miracle, right? And then they were together, and the people came searching for Jesus. They trekked over hills, and believe me, in Israel, there are hills. There are hills, not hills. And they trekked over long distances to find him, to search for him. And then there's actually a lot of questions from Jesus in chapter 6 of John. And then Jesus said, "Why did you come looking for me?" But he didn't wait for them to answer. He told them why he was looking for them. He really questioned their motives. He said, "I know why you came looking for me, because I fed you." I kind of like that he just put it out there. He didn't say, "Get away from me because all you care about is me feeding you." He just wanted them to understand why they were following him. He wanted them to see it. And that's a really good question for us to ask ourselves also. Why are you searching for Jesus? It's a good thing to consider. Point two, after that, Jesus actually answers a question. He does, I know, right? He doesn't just ask a question, he answers a question. In John 6, 28 and 29, the people ask Jesus, "What does God want us to do?" So he said to them, "You're just following me because you want the bread. You just want to be fed every day, like the little fat babies, you know." Those of you who are old enough, you remember the song, "Fat Little Baby." It's way before most of your time. Jesus answered, "The work God wants you to do is this, to believe in the one he sent." Now, it's very interesting to me that the people said, "What does God want us to do?" Because if we're honest, most of us relegate God to a vending machine. If I do this, he'll give me this. If I do this, he'll give me this. If I do this, he'll give me this. I'm not saying you're wrong for doing that, because I've done it too. But when they were asking, "What does God want us to do?" understand what they were saying. What does God want us to do so he can spread out breakfast for us every day and lunch every day and dinner for us every day without us having to pay for it? Just tell us what to do and we'll do it. Now, they really don't have a long history of actually doing what he says anyway, but they're still asking. I found it very interesting that Jesus asked, I've told you before, more than 300 questions in his ministry. But did you know that he was asked more than 180 questions in his ministry? And how many did he answer? Eight. Only three directly. This is one of three times he actually answered the question directly without going around the bend to answer it. That's really astounding. Then it goes on in verses 30 through 36, basically Jesus saying, "You want more and more miracles, and yet I'm standing here, and that is a miracle. You want more and more bread, but I am the bread." And then point number three, Jesus brings the controversial truth. John 6:47 says, 356 says, "I can assure you that anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread that gives life. Your ancestors ate the manna God gave them in the desert, but it didn't keep them from dying. Here is the bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my body. I will give my body so that the people in the world can have life." Then the Jews began to argue among themselves. They said, "How can this man give us his body to eat?" Blech. I mean, that's what I would be saying. Jesus said, believe me when I say that you must eat the body of the Son of Man and you must drink his blood. Let's kick it up a notch. Not only do you need to eat his flesh, you need to drink his blood. Oh, where can I sign up? If you don't do this, you have no real life. Those who eat my body and drink my blood have eternal life. I will raise them up on the last day. My body is true food and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my body, like he just has to keep hammering it. Like, so that people couldn't go, wait, did he just say what I think he said? He said it like five times. Those who eat my body and drink my blood live in me and I live in them. Now we have the positional view that we can look back and go, oh, I know what he was talking about. I get it now, because he wasn't talking about physically eating his flesh and physically drinking his blood. He was talking about what we had in the middle of worship, communion. He was talking about partaking in what he offered and believing that it was significant enough that it could take us to heaven and live a full life here on earth. That's what he was talking about. But you see, they didn't get it. But I sort of love that Jesus was not afraid to speak the truth, even though he knew how controversial it would be. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he spoke it just for the sake of controversy. I get irritated sometimes when people say something that they know is just going to get a fight going on Facebook. Like, just stop it. Like, stop it. I don't think that was Jesus' intention. I think he was saying it's not about what you do. It's about what you believe. It's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. But he knew it was going to be controversial because, after all, it was against Jewish law to eat human flesh or drink blood. Understandably. But he's explaining a spiritual truth using physical terms. I wonder how many times we get confused about that also. When he's explaining something spiritual and we think it means something physical. I wonder how often that happens. Of course it was confusing. Have you ever gotten confused by something that happened? Or something that was taught? That you trusted the person teaching it, but you're like, too far. That's too far. They have gone too far now. Oh, Lord, open our eyes to your spiritual truths. Open our eyes, Lord. We invite you to rewrite the record players in our brain. We invite you to rewrite our hearts. Open invitation. Point four. At that point, many followers leave. Many followers leave. Verses 60 and 66 say, when Jesus' followers heard this, many of them said, how many followers were there? Well, more than 5,000. That's how many he fed. We can assume a good portion of them were still looking for him. So a bunch of people left. Many of them said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? It's too hard. Hey, I have said the same thing. I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I have said the same thing before. Verse 66, after Jesus said these things, many of his followers left and stopped following him. Now they've seen miracles. Some of them have experienced miracles. They've been fed, and yet this teaching is so difficult that they go, I'm out. I'm done. Wow. Wow. Then he gets to the big question. I'm going fast intentionally. Got something coming. Our big question for today, verse 67. Jesus asked the 12 apostles, do you want to leave too? Now, be careful. Because sometimes the tone that you hear when reading the Bible reveals the way you see God. Well, do you want to leave too? Do you want to leave too? Do you want to leave too? I don't think it was any of those. I don't. It would be hard for me to say it the way I hear it in my heart, but I think it was more like, do you want to leave too? And this is foreshadowing, you know. Because he knows what's going to happen in the olive grove not long after this. So why would he ask such a question? He already knows the answer to it. We're not going to look at Peter's answer, though. It's really, really good. So I encourage you to do it on your own. Because it's one of my favorite things that Peter says in all of his ministry. But we're not going to do it today. I want you to search it out. John chapter 6, verse 68, I think. 69, something like that. He has a good answer. But we're not going to answer it because I want to instead ask you, has there ever been a time when you've wanted to walk away from the faith? You see, I think we need to take the shame off that question. Can I be honest and say there have been times when I wanted to walk away from the faith? Maybe it was some teaching that I just could not grasp. And it seemed harsh. Sometimes I read the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, I'm like, woo, that's a mean God. And that doesn't go with what I know about God, that God is love, so I can't reconcile those two, so I have to either walk away from the faith or walk away just from that passage and go, must not be written right. But you see, I believe that every word is written and inspired by the Holy Spirit, so it leaves me in a quandary. But I don't think there's any shame in that. Maybe it wasn't a teaching. Maybe it was some event that happened in your life. And you said, all my life I've heard God is good and God is love. And this is neither. And so something doesn't make sense. Do I really want to keep on this road? You know what? It's okay to ask that question. I think it's even healthy to ask that question, because I think there's something that happens in the pondering that can lead to the most beautiful intimacy with God if you let it. Because you come and you go, I don't really get this, God. But I trust you. And it leads to such a place of intimacy. That numbness that I talked about earlier, that could be from scar tissue. You know, scar tissue, it has less feeling than regular tissue. That can be opened up in a way that needs to be released of whatever pain was behind that scar. And then you can feel again. You can sense. I don't like the word feel because that's so up and down. You can sense God's presence again. You can sense his love for you. You can sense his invitation to you. You can sense his yes when you invite him. I just left time because I want to ask if there's anybody in the room that would be bold enough to say, there was something in my life that happened that made me want to walk away, but I'm still here. And if you're really feeling bold, you could give us a 1-minute version of what happened. You lost two wives. Yep. Chuck it all. Yep. But here you are. Yep. Why? Why are you here still? Yep. Thank you for your bravery and being honest. Anybody else?
And there's no one event. I'm always asking questions.
Yeah.
And I take comfort in the idea that God's chosen people are Israel, which means those who wrestle with God.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean to fight against.
Yep.
But to take the idea of God seriously.
Yeah.
And to wrestle.
Yes.
Take it willy-nilly. Really take it seriously.
Wow.
And that's very comforting.
Wow. That's really good, Nick. Thank you for sharing. That's really good. Wow. Why did I feel the need to ask that question today, not answer it? Because I know there are people in this room who've asked that question, but you've been too ashamed to admit it. You feel like it's somehow betraying God, and you're going to commit blasphemy if you even ask the question. And I want to reassure you, wrestling with God is a good thing. Struggling with the hard stuff, it's a good thing. And I can tell you there have been times in my life when my 7-year-old was diagnosed with a brain tumor that I didn't know if it was malignant or if it was benign for 7 days. And I wrestled with God over that. I said, God, really? How are you going to do me like this? I've been in ministry my whole life. I've given everything for you. I've laid it all on the line for you. And really? But then, I don't know. When you come to this place where you trust, there is so much intimacy with God in that that you cannot find any other way. There is no other path to it except through the wrestle. There's no other path to it except through the, I think I want to chuck it all. Ah, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Huh. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus says the Lord. There's such beauty in that. And I don't want to condemn anybody for thinking you want to leave too. I don't. But I do want to pray over you and pray over me. God, we come to you with questions. God, thank you for never running away when I come to you with a question. Thank you instead for pushing in closer to me. You've done it over and over and over and over again. And somehow that builds confidence. And so, God, I pray for the people in the room who are questioning. They're asking, should I just chuck it all? This is too hard. I don't want to do this anymore. God, thank you for meeting them right where they are. Give them the courage to invite you into the struggle. Not to think they have to go and hide in a corner to struggle, but to invite you in to their struggle, to wrestle with you, not against you, with you. Do what only you can do, Lord. I can't do it. No one in this room can do it, but you can do it. Meet every individual uniquely where we are. Our job is to invite. That's it. And then wait for your response. Whew. Thank you, Father. for being for us, even when we are running for our lives. You are still for us. Holy Spirit, do what I can't do deep in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I think this is going to lead really well into Dave's message for next week. Do you love me? In Olive Grove, I'm imagining, is, well, after the Olive Grove, yeah. On the shores of the lake, right? Yeah. So next week, I will be in South Carolina. My mom is having her 80th birthday, so I'm going down to celebrate with her, leaving tomorrow morning early, but Dave's going to fill in next week. And I encourage you to chat with each other and pray with each other. Did you know you don't have to have me or Dave or Ken to pray for you? We love to, but did you know you can pray for someone? What an idea. I know. So you have just as a direct line as I do, just as much a direct line as I do, even as much as Ken has. I know it's hard to comprehend, but it's true. Or Rhonda, right? Right? We love praying with you. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't want you to feel like you have to have one of us to be heard by the Lord. Because you are heard, you are dearly loved, and you are heard. So chat with each other, pray with each other, do whatever the Lord leads you to do, and see you. I won't see you next week. He'll see you next week. They'll see you next week. Love you guys.